Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Well, he's
not
on the
playing, but he's on the roster.
He's still on the roster.
They clearly like him.
Yeah, exactly.
And at some point, everything they're paying everybody else, they need cheap guys like him to move move up.
Well,
I figured he wouldn't be there if they didn't see him as that.
Exactly right.
And so he turns out to be a nice little find.
That's right.
I remember because our man Walt was in there in red that day.
Yeah.
I will never forget it.
He was.
He was in there in red to recruit him. Guy had been a Memphis assistant.
He just had Penny on his podcast. If Penny had bad blood.
Penny, that's one thing about him that I love. If there was ever something, he's willing to bury the hatchet.
That's right.
We know that about him through the years. You see?
Yeah.
He doesn't hold it against you.
That's right.
We know some, John, that do, don't we?
Yeah. It's like,
no, you're not hearing me.
No, I'm hearing you.
Okay, you are hearing
me. Like
Penny doesn't do that.
He's Buddhist, man.
Now, that's not to say he doesn't take things, because he did, I think, as a whole, he was starting to take things personal. He told us that last summer when he went off.
Because.
But I'm telling you, man to man, though.
Yeah.
The guy is a forgiving dude, man.
Because
in terms of being willing to bury the hatchet and not hold grudges.
You know,
Most of those rich guys ain't like that.
It's a Buddhist teaching, right? Holding on to anger.
Well, it's Jesus.
It's like grasping a hot coal.
That can be Jesus, too.
With the intent of throwing it at somebody else.
Yeah.
You are the one who gets burned.
Yeah, I know. That's not just... Why did you find that in Buddhism? It's like the Bible's got hot coals in it, too. You throw folks love and all that. You don't feed into the anger.
It's
that's
Buddhist.
Hot coals on the other side, on their head.
It's Buddhist.
Bro, you know more Jesus. You know Jesus.
Don't make
and
me
you
get
had
out
a
my,
chance there.
Chinese proverb. Don't make me get out my.
Why do you go to Buddhism and Chinese proverbs when you were brought up in Jesus?
Because they have they.
You I'm just saying. I'm not saying
societies that have lasted thousands and thousands of years.
The Buddhist philosophy says.
I like ancient Chinese proverbs. I do. I think there's a lot of wisdom in those.
Yeah,
and it's not attached to religion. It's just.
I get it.
You know, I kind of like. I don't always want everything I do to. I don't want every step I take to be have to be informed by faith. You know what I mean?
Well, we know that you don't.
Not to say that I don't want any to be informed by faith. I just don't want everything I do to be informed by faith. You know, I have to do. Oh, this is. You know, is this in lockstep with, you know, I don't know.
Well, what I'm going to do is pray for traveling mercy for you.
Thank you.
For July when you head out to Vegas and you have all that alcohol credit.
You just need
I'm praying for mercy.
You just need to pray
traveling
that,
mercy
that the microphone
Jesus.
Works.
I'm praying to Jesus, by the way.
On my laptop. So I can do the show out here. Because, you know, July, that's going to be hitting. Whew. That's going to be tough. Anyway. Thanks to Anthony Sain for joining
us
fantastic. On the show. We'll come back with the rundown, including maybe some more good news about Dane Danger. Stick around. Jason and John, 99.5 ESPN. Black Tie Movement has changed the mood in the city of Memphis. They're the best. Call them. 316-6196 is the phone number. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. They're going to stay on budget. You're going to be super glad you went with my friends at Black Tie Movement. I've used them two separate times, and it was a great experience each and every time. So make sure you call them. Get on the schedule. Black Tie Movement. 316-6196 is the number. Change the mood in the city of Memphis. Do the rundown. Let me see you leaning rock with it like a boss. Boss. Thank you, Brad. Timberwolves even it up, folks. 117-93, your final last night. Warriors cut to 7 in the second half. Nobody actually thought they'd win, though. I guess the only moment that you thought it might get interesting is when Anthony Edwards got hurt. But as we know, at home, NBA players fake injuries, or at the very least, over-exaggerate them. On road, real. Home, fake. Just a good rule of thumb for you. And he came back, and I mean, I wouldn't say it was a fantastic game for Anthony Edwards. Like, he missed quite a few bunnies. But it was a great game for Julius Randle, who had a damn near triple-double. Jaden McDaniels was great. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had 20. And the Warriors, I think, as you might expect, just had trouble scoring. I mean, if not for this random 18 points from Kuminga and 15 from Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yeah, you see Kerr try to play everybody.
Yeah, I mean.
Look how many guys he played.
Moses Booty. Whew, that man is awful. I mean, he can't see the floor again, as far as I'm concerned. He started Quentin Post and played him only 3 minutes. Buddy Hill came back to earth. Jimmy's not really that guy anymore, right, to carry a team for 40 minutes. Offensively, and then you expect them to be just as good defensively. Like, it's just not going to happen. So I just thought last night was like, this is the hill. This is how steep the hill is going to be for the Warriors without Steph Curry. Even in on a night where Anthony Edwards wasn't that good, on a night where I even out rebounded him. It was still a comfortable win with margin. 24? You lose by 24. So I don't know. I didn't feel like, we were wondering, all right, what's this going to look like without Steph? And they were basically blitzed from the beginning. I don't think it bodes very well for them for the rest of this series.
There, as you would imagine, offensive rating plummets in these playoffs without Curry on the floor, goes from 115.7 to 92.6, but also their defensive rating drops off 112 to 105.2. We told you, I mean, as familiar as he is with that system, even at his size, he can be effective defensively. Again, when he's bothering ball handlers, whatever else, or just getting in passing lanes, their net rating goes from plus 3.7 to minus 12.6. It's as simple as that. They can't win the series. They probably can't win games. Again, they're going to try to salvage one of these two in Golden State. That's all they can hope to do at this point.
Yep.
And we said it. I can't believe he let Jimmy Butler go over 30 minutes. I think I checked it. It looked like it was at 34. Now, maybe Jimmy's dictating that.
Right.
Because you're going to give a player like that some leeway. But my point was, we said it yesterday, John, you throw this one, play everybody. I said, play Kuminga a whole game, see what he does. I mean, he essentially did that in that game because you're just trying to get through, see if you can salvage one of the two in Golden State. The difference to me, I heard this morning, is that they're saying they hope to get him back in game five in sort of a worst-case scenario game six. Now, they could just be saying that because game five is only about a week out from where he injured it and still hoping that the real hope is for game six. But, if they may have to throw him out there, John, is my point, in game five, if you lose, both of these games in San Francisco,
right?
You have to throw him out there in game five. He has to come back early or else you're dead.
Yep.
So. Very interesting to see how they – and listen to Steph, talk about how, hey, if I was in my 20s, this would be one thing. I'm in my 30s now. We know how much running miles literally during games is a part of his game. So he's not going to be same when he gets back. And you just watched last night. It's what your eyeballs tell you. They're not the same team. I mean, you have Jimmy Butler and everything out there. It's not remotely the same. The analytics and your eyeballs all say so. They don't have a chance without him.
I don't think they do. I mean, it is only
– Can they salvage one? What do you think?
I think they can probably get one. But I mean, in terms of winning the series, I don't really see it.
So what's dangerous is if you say, okay, Jimmy, go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Go play 42 minutes and go get us a dub.
Yep.
If you come, either way, even if you win it, you can sort of expend what he's got left.
Yep.
Just in doing that, and it could kill you the rest of the season. You could do that just like Cleveland did, Donovan Mitchell. You still lose the game, but they don't have any choice.
They don't.
They need Hield and Jimmy to go win them one in San Francisco.
100%. And can they do that?
I think the series is over. This is a deal where they're going to benefit. I mean, Boston benefited from pretty good injury luck on their way. Now, they dominated, I think, with some 16-3, some crazy record last year. There was injury luck in some of that in terms of the opponents they were playing. Guys missed games, Halliburton. That always happens. And it looks like Minnesota's going to benefit from that here.
Right, yeah.
Until we know more on Steph.
I mean, in terms of, the Timberwolves at large, I mean, we'll find out. I mean, I don't think that this has been like, oh my gosh, they just look dominant. They're going to the
finals.
They
weren't even good last night, man.
Right.
But that just shows you where Golden State is with that Steph.
100%. Yes. I mean, it's just really more about them than anything. And not a lot that you can do about it. There's no wrinkle that Steve Kerr can, I mean, he tried. I mean, he tried, but their rotation stinks. Their rotation players, they stink.
Well, they were bad
before
they got Jimmy.
Yes. Exactly.
They were a non-you-know-what factor.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, without Steph, that's what they are.
100%.
They're back to bad.
Yeah. I mean,
the number, the net rating suggests that.
Yeah, and so.
Off the floor.
Anyway, Warriors go down last night. Timberwolves do even it up 1-1. Play again tomorrow. Timberwolves are a 5.5-point favorite on the road at Golden State. Again, you're not expecting to see Steph. If you see Steph again, it would probably not be until I think realistically game six, but he'll do the warm up thing. He'll try to play game five and ultimately I think not play. But they'll at least try to keep that possibility open until, further notice. But yeah, I'm assuming that we would not see him again until game six.
We'll have Faye Brad and his picks. Because hopefully it's the weekends is the only place where he's struggled. When he's picking these weekday games, the man's on fire. And, the point of the whole segment going back to last year was that he's so bad that we fade him.
Right.
I don't know. He had mastered the system when the NBA had flipped us and all these underdogs were winning. And now, even when it's obvious, like it was last night, he's on the right side there. So the guy is rolling. But I figured we'll get Brad's picks, 12:50 or so, via King George, for those of us that maybe have decided you want to tail him at this point.
Yeah.
But let's a reminder, I would say, weekends have been where he's been, the one place where we've caught him.
The bigger the sample, the worse he gets.
100%.
The problem is he's had one game slates, two game slates. Like, it's been a while since he's had three.
There's what Brad says about these games. That's a parody betting segment. Then there's what John Martin has to say about them. And so, if you don't mind, John, I'd like to talk about tonight's games. The Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Pacers. Obviously, this is a spot we did not expect Cleveland to be in, especially shifting back to Indiana, down 0-2. And tell you what, it's going to be about how many of the guys that were missing can go tonight. Remember, it was three. DeAndre, one of the guys that's been one of their key reserves since they brought him over from Atlanta, but also Darius Garland and Evan Mobley, their status tonight going to be key. Pacers are 5.5-point underdogs, last I looked over at ESPN Bet,
yep,
at home tonight. They have all the momentum after they, just absolutely stole this last one.
Yep.
Remember, down 7 with less than a minute to play.
Yep.
Halliburton gets his own rebound. I mean, how improbable that was. You just can't. You could go on and on about they got it done. So this is, needless to say, this is territory Cleveland didn't expect to find itself in, but must respond on the road again. And then you've got Thunder Nuggets tonight, and my Nuggets, because I picked them in our long shot contest. It's now 1-1, obviously, after OKC smacked them in game two. I think Denver clearly fully expected that. That was a team that was happy to have already stolen home court. And we know the margin for error is so thin with them. Mm-hmm. Aaron Gordon, all of their starters have to be good, and then they need good Westbrook off the bench just to be alive in the series against a Thunder team that runs so deep and so good. And so, obviously, if that's going to be a tough road to hoe for Denver, even with it shifting back to Denver. They're 5.5-point underdogs at home in this case. So like the Pacers in this case, both home teams are 5.5-point dogs. What you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's like a massive tax on Cleveland here because they just have to have the game. That's the thinking, right? They have to have
that's
this.
The thinking.
I'm assuming you're going to see some of Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter in this game. They'll return. But, like, man, I mean, it's not like the Pacers are just going to lay down at home. I mean, I
imagine they're going to be pretty charged up.
Yeah, I mean, I think
having their home crowd back behind them that believes even more now, probably. That crowd, you talk about that crowd and that juice.
The Cavs opened minus 126 on the money line on this game.
Okay.
Since then, I'm assuming there's been some good injury news or what have you. That would be my guess as of today. So, you know, I think that's again baked in and priced in. But I think I like both home teams today. I think I like both home teams against the number.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Denver is the one I'm less confident in because maybe there's a chance that OKC is just like so much better than them.
They all participated in shoot around, to your point.
Yeah, so there you go. So yeah, they're
all three of them.
They're all coming back tonight. Yeah. And so that's why that number is so big.
Confirmed for you, yeah.
And that makes sense. But I'm still like I'm kinda like fading that. Like I'm like you're giving me 6 points at home with a team that's been better. I mean, again, we haven't seen him with Garland in, and that's the wild card. But how healthy and how in rhythm is he gonna be in the first game? I think the Pacers can at least keep it close. I don't think they're going
to
lay down.
I'd be scared for you if you do that for real. I'm not going to lie to you. If you do that for real, you talk yourself into that, I'd be a little scared for you. Could you not see them just coming out with full force now, fully staffed, and running them off the floor?
But it's been a while since we've seen them full force.
Oh, you're right. But I mean, you said the key thing, Darius Garland. And no, surely he won't come back and be Darius Garland all-star 35.
Right.
But he is back in. He's been the key piece.
No, you're right.
I'm just – careful.
For the record.
Are you talking yourself into Pacers office? You feeling real good about your 2-0 lead is what it is.
It's not 2-0.
It is.
The underdog challenge, yeah.
And the underdog challenge, that's what it is. That you refuse to be a part of, but I'm pulling you in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, and you, I don't know why you don't want to be a part of it when you're winning it.
I didn't agree to it.
I don't care.
I wasn't asked about it.
You have your team. I have mine. I should have taken the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean,
but I got to ride with Denver.
The Pacers are definitely going to win the series, big dog. I mean, that much we know.
Well, you're getting too high on the hog, wanting them in the 5.5 tonight.
Now, what do we make of the Thunder and the Nuggets?
I don't know. I don't know what Coach Jokic is going to have in terms of the speech.
That's so true.
We just the way I'm looking at this, we got to get one.
Yeah,
we got to get one of the two. Why does it feel kind of like this is Golden State or something? It shouldn't. I've got Jokic. I'm as healthy as I can be with this thin team.
Yes.
I hate being a Nuggets fan.
No, it's not fun. It's not a good time.
Come on, I hate rooting for Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize he's playing with injury. No, it's not a fun place to be. OKC's supposed to waylay us. I suspect they blow us out. We'll have to salvage game 4. Jokic, save yourself for game 4, Coach.
Right. I mean, last night I ended up betting Timberwolves minus 10.5 because I was just like, I kind of thought it would be like OKC did to Denver, and it wasn't quite that bad, but it was pretty non-competitive if not for that.
Nuggets always surprise me.
Little run. Yeah, no,
Don't they do what
you don't expect
against the
them
grain.
To do. Yes.
Yeah, and so they'll probably win tonight.
You didn't expect them to compete in game 1, they win.
Yeah.
You expected them to compete in game 2, they get blown out. We expect them not to compete tonight. They probably show up. But I don't know. I mean, game 2 was so decisive, but it was called differently. It was definitely called differently. And Aaron Gordon did complain after game 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if there's like a, you know, you're getting home, you know.
Getting home. You know, have a little whistle.
I mean, just naturally. I do think this does have zigzag
stop
sort of
them.
The
stop
feel, you know.
My team, yeah.
But I'm not.
I wish I was a Knicks fan.
I'm not really. There's a chance I might not bet anything. I mean, we're getting into the NBA season where if you're betting every single one of these games, like unless you're Brad, you're going to be on the wrong. You're going to lose. Like,
well, Brad, again, it's the weekend. Can he stay hot?
Can he stay hot? Can he stay hot? That's a hell of a question.
He's a madman right now.
It's a hell of a question. So, give me the home teams against the number tonight.
Okay, and real quick, just because we know, Shaq said last night that game three is a must win for the Knicks.
Well,
obviously it is for the Celtics, who are down 0-2. But Shaq's point is you better get this one if you truly want to put them down.
Right.
And not wait.
Right.
Because you lose this one, mm-hmm. Celtics' belief grows. They've done this before. You referenced the Miami series. Now, they lost that one, but wasn't it 0-3?
Yeah.
So what do you think of just about that take real quick?
I don't know about it.
It's an interesting way of saying it. I don't think it's untrue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's easy to say, oh, Shaq, yeah. But it's kind of true.
But they could lose, and they could still win game four.
If you let Boston come through that door,
Boston's going to win a game. They're going to win a game.
You think it's this one? They're, again, 5.5. Why is 5.5 the number on everything? That's the number there, too.
These road favorites.
Uh-huh. That's the number Saturday.
Yeah.
Looks like it's the number for Minnesota, too.
It's it's the number for Minnesota. So it's the number for Cleveland. So it's the number for Thunder. It's the number for the Celtics.
All four.
All four are 5.5.
I've stumbled upon something here. You're not buying it. I get it. I can't get you on Shaq's take there. No. It is a must win for the Knicks in game three if you're going to do this right.
Can I ask you?
Did you see what, real quick, 27,000. You know what that number represents?
Mm-mm.
It's the ticket price right now, high end, to get into Madison Square Garden for this one.
Well, Ben Stiller going to pay it.
They're talking Super Bowl type secondary market stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the low I think I saw this morning was either 400 or 600, somewhere between 400 and 600.
Right.
But 27,000.
Yeah.
They are frothing at the mouth.
Yeah.
To get the Celtics in there. That thing is going to be buzzing.
Yeah, it is.
They're asking if Jalen Brunson is the best Knick ever. Now, a lot of New Yorkers are shooting that down. They say you don't know your history.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we are in terms of where this team is with Mr. Clutch and the rest of these just dogs.
Yeah.
Celtics better wake up.
Yeah, no.
That's what I'm saying. You are going into a bee's hive tonight, tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this real quick while we're on the subject of NBA. Draymond Green last night.
I saw it.
Was, you know, he had a sort of.
Got another tech.
A dust up, yeah, with the refs. And after the game, he said he is tired of the agenda to make me look like an angry black man. I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda trying to make me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous. Van Lathan, he asked on Twitter, is this the civil rights movement of our time? I would say, and again, maybe it's not my place to say this, I don't think it has anything to do with like an agenda to make you look like an angry black man. I think it would be more about like your own like outbursts, right, and behaviors. I don't think anybody attributes that to race. I think they just say that like Draymond is a wild man, is a crazy man, and he also gets away with a lot more than basically anybody in the NBA. Because if anybody like he was doing last night, was charging at the ref and still talking after getting that tee, I mean, refs have given him a technical as opposed to a flagrant to keep him in games, right? Because he's already had one flagrant, so they give him a technical to avoid the second flagrant. I think he gets away with quite a bit. So, I mean, his feelings are valid because whatever, he's the one feeling them, but I don't think that's where I would come down on Draymond. I'm just curious if you thought there was anything to what he said last night.
Well, there's a detail in his experience last night that should be at least factored in before I weigh in on what you mm-hmm. said, the fact that a fan was ejected for calling him a racial slur.
Got it.
And so
I did not know that.
It's important. Because in terms of Draymond's state of mind after the game, and this fan was ejected. This wasn't something he made up.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so to speaking to his state of mind afterwards, when he was not referencing that, Draymond now, back to the point, said he wasn't taking questions. He's going to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And the statement that came out in terms of the way, as far as I understand it, the statement that came out wasn't a reference to the racial slur that was hurled at him. But I think it's important because let's talk about Draymond's state of mind after the game. It wasn't just, hey, I'm going to be talking about, what went on when I got that technical was my point. But what he said about being, you know, portrayed as this angry black man was he was talking about officials. He wasn't talking about that experience. And so Draymond then went there. And that's where I agree with you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're right. Like, I'm telling you, Draymond, maybe even with a more rattled state of mind than he already has because of the racial slur thing, was addressing this thing with referees, the technicals, the fact that he's got 15 more than anybody else in the league. Oh, since he's come in the league, I think it's 37, 15 more, I heard, than anybody else over that time.
Yep.
To act like this is because they're trying to frame you as angry black man. What are you talking about? It's a league that's predominantly black, bro.
Yep.
Like, you can't do that. Now, this is a night where he's been called a racial slur.
Right. No, that does inform the picture.
That will make a black man angry.
Absolutely.
So I'm not excusing him
right.
because of it for what came out and the way he addressed his technicals, which we know it's what you said, John. This man's got more leeway than anybody else in the league.
Yep.
They should have tossed him last night. Did you see him berate the officials after the tech?
Yep.
They should have tossed him.
Yep.
They didn't. He has more leeway than anybody else. And if I was talking to him about race, I'd say it's the kind of leeway that you would say cops give white folks, right? And don't give black folks on the road.
Yeah.
That's what I would tell him about the way he applied that racial card. Because the truth is, he gets that kind of leeway in the NBA.
Right.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
However, I think it's very important, again, because us in the media, you know, we're not having these racial slurs thrown at us. Again, this is something he made out. This guy was ejected. He's in a visitor's arena.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that probably contributed to why he decided to maybe, because you ain't think, you know, you're rattled, you're mad, and I completely understand it.
Yep.
We don't get that sort of treatment. We don't know how that feels.
Right.
And where it would put our minds and then what would come out of our mouths when we're feeling like that. But I would say, bro, you can't use that. Come on, man. It's sort of like he does with the technicals. We talked about it with Brevin Knight. The technicals and the behavior and the antics are a distraction for a basketball player who's very good. Brevin, remember when Brevin said this to us 2 weeks ago? Made a ton of sense. Because, again, while you're thinking about how Draymond should have got the flagrant, right? Instead of a technical, he's going backdoor on you. He's making all the cuts. He's being effective on you on the court. It's like a magician that uses distraction
Absolutely.
To help be really effective.
Yep.
And in this case, bro, this playing, in this case, the race card, bro, in a league that's predominantly black, where you get the most leeway of anybody, bro,
mm-hmm.
from white officials. They back down when you're cursing them out. No, man, you're not doing that. You're not doing that truthfully. And so back to what I was saying about Brevin. This is a distraction from what he knows is real. The guy said the guy was just apologizing for getting the tech in game 6 of Houston and where it left his team. Said he had talked to Izzo, went to therapy. And then you're trying to excuse hitting Naz Reid in the face, bro.
Like, for no reason.
With this, they're trying to portray you as a black man.
Yep.
So even if you don't agree with anything I've said, go watch him hit Naz Reid.
Exactly.
He's trying to distract us with the race card in this instance.
Yep.
On a night, however, where he's been called a racial slur.
Yep.
I keep pushing that in there because, again, it speaks to state of mind, willingness to do this. But, bro, you played the race card the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this one don't stand up. And I have to say it, if I'm being honest, a lot of people will come on, once you play, if a black man plays that race card and you are black, you're almost bound, it seems in some circles obligated to jump on in defense and say, okay, this is racism. We have to be careful with that. And it's the same way on the other, you know, whatever, sides, whatever, anytime, whoever's playing the race card.
Right.
If it ain't, shut up. This wasn't. What I would have felt him on, speaking to the fan that called him a racial slur. You know, that's what we need to get over across the fans. How wrong, how unacceptable that is, even if you're drunk. But instead, he goes with this fake race card, and to play this card in a league where you get the most leeway is just it's wrong. That said, the man's state of mind.
Because I mean,
but he was just asking for help, John, apologizing to his team for getting technical. Right. Then he goes out there, gets this one, hits Nas in the face doing it, stands over Nas Reed at first. Look at the pictures. Yeah, he's standing over him after he does it. He ain't sorry at first.
And he appropriately got the T for it.
He just went to therapy. Guys, this, you know, Draymond is playing, is doing Draymond things, man. And I just refuse to let him get us all caught up in it and start talking real about racial issues when this, man, this one, this
he's not a victim of that.
Officials treat him is not racism.
Correct.
But he experienced it, very importantly, he did experience it last night in Minnesota.
That's right. That's right.
The fan was thrown out for it.
So it is a little
It's a nuanced conversation, and we have to keep pointing to that because it might speak to his state of mind, but a state of mind that we already know the man's been he's seeking therapy for. He literally did that. It's out there between games 5 and the start of this series.
Yeah.
Excuse me, game 6 of the series against Houston.
Yeah.
That was the technical he apologized to his team for. You saw Steph trying to calm him down because he's 2 away from suspension.
Yep. Yep.
And instead of speaking to the real, I can't do this, or, hey, I can't do this, and by the way, guys, we got issues with our fans. The way, this was a joke tonight, what happened to me in terms of being called a racial slur. This is unacceptable. No, but Draymond's not in that kind of...
No.
He's not that dude who's going to call it down the line like it really is all the time. He's gonna make it look good for Draymond.
Exactly. And I think
that's... And distract you when it benefits him.
That's kind of the problem, right, is that it...
I mean, that's just the real on this one.
It just kind of cheapens, you know, the real of it.
Yeah.
Because when
does that... Exactly.
Because when it does happen...
Because then people... Right. Because the people that have thought that... Again, and I already know, like, as soon as we get done talking about this, there's going to be one, two people... So there goes sellout Jason. Because, again, there are I'm just telling you, in some circles, every time that race card's played, you got to jump on that side if you're black. Right? But back to your point, I find it so important because if you play it falsely, folks stop listening when it is real.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, again, I'm not, whether it's a white folks yelling racism or black folks or whoever, brown folks, everybody, it is so serious, especially at this time in the country's history, bro.
Right. Let's leave the racism for when there's actual racism.
But there was last night, but not in a different way.
Not in the context
that
he...
I'm glad that I keep bringing you right.
Yes.
You're right here.
He was sort of trying to push this narrative of, I get treated differently because I'm black.
He addressed it, again, not fans from my answer.
Right.
He was addressing the technical, the way he was treated by refs. On a night, the man hit Nas Reed in the face doing it, man.
Exactly.
And stood over him.
And especially, I mean, it's a predominantly...
But he experienced racism.
He did.
Last night.
But it's a predominantly black league, right? It's just like, it's not like a hockey player, you know, coming out and saying, because that's like, all right, there would be some... Probably, like, we got to look into that. Because
my guess is that happens more regularly than we think.
Oh,
because
totally.
There are so few hockey players in a white, right? And so whether visitor, depending upon where you are.
Like, it's impossible for, it's literally impossible.
Unacceptable there, too.
It totally needs
to be stamped out there, too.
But it's impossible to be treated differently in the NBA because you're black, because almost everybody in the NBA is black.
But what you said is the way I would bottom line it, man. It's so important that when we're discussing these racial issues, especially in an assault, particularly when we're talking about them in a city like Memphis, even though this is obviously a national story. But it's so important, man, that when we're bringing that real stuff to the table, right, that it's real.
Yep.
So that we can discuss it in a real way.
Yep.
When it's fake like this, it tunes folks out.
Yeah, 100%.
And we need everybody, you know, in these situations, it's a lot of times, man, you do better listening.
Yes.
And again, folks will stop listening if whoever's playing the card just because they think it's going to benefit them and it ain't In that context, I don't think it's properly applied.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Got some news on Dane Danger potentially and sort of how we're feeling about that coming up in just a little bit. But got to tell you about Smokeslam. It's coming to Memphis May 15th through the 17th. Not this weekend, next weekend. Hope to see you guys out there. It's going to be a blast. It's from our friends Mipo Presents, right? They've just put on Riverbeat. That was amazing. We expect sort of the same exact things here with Smokeslam. People that were at Riverbeat said it was the most organized thing they've ever seen in Memphis. Again, expecting the same from Smokeslam. Get those barbecue samples when you're down there. Take the whole family, fireworks, Ferris wheel, everything you can imagine. Smokeslam this year, downtown Memphis.
Got a great music lineup as well. Shane Smith, The Saints, The Revivalists, Country Music Giants, Big and Rich, have many more. Southern Avenue, The MDs. Neon Mooners, and more. They do three-day passes, or you can do single-day tickets. They're all on sale now. Go to smokeslam.com. You could check out the selection. They've also got VIP experiences as well. So they will roll out the red carpet for you down at Tom Lee Park in style. Either way, it's going to be a family time. John's mentioned the big old Ferris wheel and the fireworks for the kids. They're going to love it down there. Make sure you get down to Smokeslam. Get your tickets first at smokeslam.com. Then get on down to the river and Tom Lee Park, May 15th through the 17th for Smoke.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Slam. I love Rebecca Dinstall. I have to say it. Well, she's delivered, personally, some sweet chocolate-covered strawberries from Dinstall's Candies. And I'd be telling you to get to Dinstall's for Mother's Day, even if Rebecca hadn't left me those lovely chocolate-covered strawberries. I'm going to give it to my wife for Mother's Day. I'm not going to eat them myself. No, I wouldn't do that. So she's a wonderful woman, and if you haven't met her, then that's for you. Those that have know that she isn't just a wonderful woman, but an unbelievable business owner, and she's got the best candy in the world. It's made right here in Memphis, really because of her. Celebrate this wonderful time with all the moms in your life by treating them to Dinstall's signature chocolate-covered strawberries. Get yours. Fresh, ripe berries. They'll be ready. They're waiting on you right now. They're waiting on mom, but you got to get them to mom. That's how you're going to bring a smile to her face this Mother's Day. If you didn't know, yeah, hurry up. Get your butt in gear. Mother's Day is on Sunday. If she doesn't like chocolate-covered strawberries, don't worry about it. They'll pack her favorite assortment from creams to nuts, caramels to nougats, tartlets to truffles. I love the tartlets. This ain't Father's Day. You can get the sugar-free options as well if that's what mom needs. Stop by Dinstall's today. Laurelwood, Germantown, Kyrieville, Pleasant View. If you see Rebecca over there, say hello. Or the new downtown store. Say thanks, Mom, with Dinstall's Candies, made in Memphis and enjoyed by the whole world.
We'll do Faye Brad in a little bit. It's a weekend slate. But we talked about this, Dane Danger outlook, right? Got some good news in Memphis, Louisville. Can we keep the party going? Well, Brendan Marks and C.J. Moore have written over at The Athletic about players like Dane Danger. College basketball players out of eligibility are entering the transfer portal. Why? Dane's out of eligibility. He's applying for a waiver to have another year of eligibility granted, but he's out. 137. He's among 137 other players that are in the portal but have no on paper eligibility. Oh, well, I guess Dane's not in the portal. Excuse me.
Yeah, he's one that's not in the portal.
He was going to go in the portal, and then he
Mama said no.
Yeah, so he's not in the portal, but like those players, he is hopeful, right, for a waiver. And the story focuses on Ante Brzovic. I don't know. He's Croatian. And he moved to America in 2020. He played at Division II Southeastern Oklahoma State University. He redshirted his first year because he wasn't academically eligible. Sound familiar? Yes. Exactly what Dane did. He was ineligible his first year, so he redshirted.
That's been the sticking point.
Yeah. He then played in 28 games the following season before transferring to Charleston, where he became a three-year starter. So, again, his situation is exactly like Dane's, except Dane played fewer games as in his first year, but it was the redshirt year and then 4 years of competition, right?
Yeah.
Ante Brzovic applied for a waiver, and he was denied on April the 1st. So, obviously, they will appeal, but here's what Ante Brzovic is going to do. They are suing the NCAA for another season of eligibility.
Yeah.
And all they really want is not to win this legal case. They just want a temporary restraining order long enough to hold off the courts and the NCAA for him to play the season under the TRO.
So like Wiseman.
Just like Wiseman. That is more than 10 eligibility lawsuits have been filed against the NCAA since January the 1st. other athletes are appealing to the NCAA. Dawson Garcia is doing that. He's seeking a waiver for his sophomore year when he left North Carolina to be closer to his family that was dealing with medical issues. Isaiah Swope from St. Louis played his freshman season in D2 and is seeking another season. So, you know, that's where we're at, right? Is like, are there going to be, you know, landscape seismic changes in antitrust with eligibility limits and all these different things? Can you hold off the NCAA for long enough to play a whole season? It seems like this is Dane's path. Like, my guess is, you know, the NCAA would look at this Croatian big man situation.
Yeah.
And they would say, it's the same as Dane Dange's situation. We can't, just because he didn't play more than three games, like, he was eligible and he did appear. I guess you could say it didn't hit, like, I guess there's like a threshold, 12 games or whatever the case may be. But I would say that it's pretty comparable, and I would not be optimistic based on that.
Right.
But I would be optimistic based on the TRO, and that's kind of what I was hinting at, that would be the path. And you know, The Athletic has published it now. They don't mention Dane, but that would obviously be the route that they would take.
They don't mention Dane as taking that route, even though Dane is mentioned in the story.
Correct.
They don't mention that he would take that route.
Oh, Dane is in the story?
The Athletic story?
Yeah, okay, I do see it. Yeah,
Dane's down it. Yeah.
He's
not lumped into the portal guys. They kind of separate him, but they do talk specifically about his case.
So this is what they wrote about Dane. Take Memphis big Dane Danger, who reportedly filed a waiver to the NCAA last week. Danger redshirted his freshman year at Baylor, which he would get back regardless because of the COVID-19 rule, and played in only three games during the 2021-22 season before leaving for Illinois in December 21, which is mid-year. He did not suit up for the Illini at the second half of that season. Danger then played two full years at Illinois before ending his career at Memphis this season. Technically, because Danger played in three games during the 2021 fall semester at Baylor, he's already used four, quote, full Division I seasons. But the NCAA has shown a proclivity for granting waivers to players who appeared in under 30% of the team's games in a given season, usually because of injury, which was not the case for Danger. He turns 23 in July. So that's what you're up against. It's like, all right, you didn't play, but you weren't hurt. Then you left because you weren't playing. Are we giving that guy another year? I would just do it because he only played three games. And he's got an opportunity this year to play 30 more games. I would just give it to him. But I'm not the NCAA.
Does this include, is it factoring in what you mentioned, the year he was ineligible?
I don't know.
It didn't look like it.
You have 5 years to play four.
I'm going back to that because I thought the sticking point of this is you can't get the year back that you were ineligible.
No, he's trying to get back the year. He's not trying to get that year back. He's trying to get back the 21-22 season.
That he only played three games.
Yes, that's the season he's trying to get back.
Okay.
So that's...
Well, I mean, because everything had been based on he's going for that season. That's why the beat writers had so pretty solidly killed this in terms of dismiss this, because it was about getting the ineligible year back.
Well, if
they
you're
thought
ineligible,
initially
you're
that was the plan, right? And that's why they were saying he's not getting this.
Right.
That's why we had partly dismissed it.
Right.
I think they were because when we thought it was based on that, they were that's what they were smart to write that.
Because
that's
the Croatian big man was ineligible. He wasn't.
But if it's not that season, they're trying
denied.
To get back. Now we're in new waters. Then dismissing that case, dismissing Dane's chances based on you know, this is now based on a different year.
It's
so
is the NCAA going to show him grace for the three games?
For the one that where he played three.
Right. Without and he wasn't hurt.
Again, I'd be curious to I'll be curious to hear what Parr thinks at 125.
Yeah. But again, it does seem like it will end in litigation.
Litigation is good for us.
Yeah.
Right? Because it kicks the can down the road.
Yeah. But
I would guess. I mean, again, it didn't work out for us in the Wiseman thing, because as I told Jeff, he quit.
The story ends with a former NCAA official being quoted anonymously saying 5 years is going to be looked at as the compromise. The more sixth and seventh year guys get approved to be able to stick around. So, yeah. Seems like Dane is going to be back one way or the other. It's just like, do you have to use brute force?
Well, they've recruited like he's going to be back.
They need him. They need him badly.
They've recruited like they expect him back.
Yeah. Well, they need him badly. So We shall see. But that, I thought that was the most interesting sort of insight we've gotten on it from a national level. These cases around the country, are they informative or not? Maybe so. But does feel like Dane, like the door is very open, and that would be very welcome news for the University of Memphis. Honestly, Jason, it would change everything. I mean, I don't think there'll be a preseason top 25 team still, but they'll be like right there. You know, they'll be a top 30, top 35 team. Doug, Dane, Bradshaw. I mean, you got some pieces now. Because, like, Dane's your guy. Dane's your leading scorer. I mean, it's just that simple, right? I mean,
oh, my goodness.
You got two
just
options.
Where he was at the end of the season.
You got high-low with Doug and Dane.
He could be one of the best big men in college basketball next year.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
One of them.
Doug
he
to
was
Danger.
That effective down the stretch.
Double Ds.
Yeah.
You got the double Ds. And George loves double Ds.
I just said, yeah, as in John going to be inappropriate. I mean, yeah, it works.
Dane Danger, Doug McDaniel. It's, I guess it's an M, but, you know, still. DMDD. There you have it.
And ZD.
Who's that? Oh,
Zachary
Zach Davis.
Davis.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. We have any VD, venereal disease? We'll have that. We got to work on that.
I pray not.
We got Sincere Parker. Got that going.
Sincerely hope that we don't have any VD on the team.
You got an AB? No. What is he? Bradshaw? What is his
first? AB.
He is AB.
Bradshaw.
Yeah. That, we haven't had one since Antonio Barton.
AB. Love it, man. Yeah. 100%.
This is fun.
Yeah.
It's more fun with Dane back.
Yes,
that's,
it is.
It's fun with Dane
always
back.
More fun with Dane
if he's
back.
Not back. We'll see if we
you
have
know
fun.
Dane got that fake pass in his bag. You know,
oh, it's gonna be a good. Off. It's gonna be a good three turnovers per game.
Yeah,
but it's a
we
fun
welcome
three
those turnovers. 100%. All right, we'll talk to Parth about this. Get his thoughts on the Louisville Memphis basketball series, and then we'll do some fade Brad. Stick around, Jason and John. I'm trying to find ESPN.